Okay, let us start our discussion of the first Shir Bi'iyun related to the Daf Yomi topic that we'll discuss, a topic related to the Makas Daf Beis. In general, I will try to announce exactly when the Shirim will be taking place and discuss various topics as one sees on the website, that some will be Iyun, some will be categorizing and summarizing, some will be lamaisa, all different topics related to the daf, but hopefully each one will stand on its own. Okay, so let's talk about a topic that relates to the Makas Daf Beis, beginning of the new Masechta. Let me just remind you exactly the first mission. The first mission in Makas starts off, Ketza Eidim Nazim Zomimim, how do Eidim become Zomimim? And as the Gemara points out, that how do Eidim not become Zomimim, because these are the unusual cases of Eidim Zomimim. So we have made an under Bish Ploni, they come and testify that so-and-so is a Ben Gerusha and a Ben Chalutza. So we say that they don't become Ben Gerusha, Ben Chalutzas. Rashi says, even if they're Kahanim, we could just say you have the status of a Chalal. Right? You are a Chalal, you are no longer considered a Kohen, you will get the third Aliyah, you're a kosher Jew, you count for a minion, you could do all the mitzvahs, you just can't eat Truma, and you don't have Kedushas Kahuna. A Chalal means empty. You're empty from Kedushas Kahuna. We don't say that. Based on a pasuk, as the Gemara says, lo velo lazaro, if we pasal him, if we make him into a chalal, then we're going to have to make his kids into a chalal. And we can't do that, because it says, v'asisan lo kasher zamam lasos l'achiv. Only to him, we have to make him into a chalal. Even though he wanted to make the other guys, the defendant's kids, also into chalalim. But that is the special limud that the Torah has, and therefore we just give him malchus. The question that is asked by the Ritva, and by other Rishonim, by his grand Rebbe, the Ramban, Ben Gerusha and Ben Chalutza. Ben Chalutza? The Isser of a Kohen marrying a Chalutza is an Isser Durabanan. Also an Isser Durabanan. Throughout Shas, Chalutza is always just thrown in there. But Gerusha is an Isser Daraisa. If a Kohen marries a Gerusha, if a Kohen marries a Chalutza, that's only an Isser Durabanan. So is it possible, ask the Ritva, that you take the Mishnah literally? If I testify that somebody is pasul midrabanan only, that Kohen is a ben chalutza. I witnessed the chalitza of his mother, and now look, his mother had him as a ben, had him. So is that possible he's going to get malchus daraisa? Says the Ritva, it's impossible. Can't be. Says the Ritva, v'hatik tani ben chalutza, ba'ashigras lishna, de ben gerusha nakte. It threw it in, it says gerusha, so it always throws chalutza, like comes off our mouth. Gerusha v'chalutza. It's always the same. But really, don't take chalutza so literally. Tapsul ben chalutza, eino elemen atar, elemen drabanan. It's only drabanan. V'im kain, ein bodin hazama d'oraisa klau. Because he's saying he is only pasul midrabanan, so it can't be. It can't be that it's going to lead to hazama d'oraisa. So therefore, elem yishum, de'isa chalutza l'kahuna midrabanan have, am tulifso gusha daraisa. It threw it in there, but really it does not mean it. And this is what many Rishonim say in many different contexts throughout Shas. Chalitza or chalutza is always just thrown in as an afterthought, just thrown in with gerusha.
Does that become eda she'iyato yachalazima?
So does that become, if it's chalutza, is it eda she'iyato yachalazima? Well, Tosfos already asks, is it yachalazima if you can give him malchus? You're saying if it's never going to reach the threshold of hazama, so it's not really eda daraisa, yeah? You see that? It's not real, and there are other reasons. There are more other reasons that the first Tosfos says it's not Yachal Hazima, because he's not giving any punishment here. So this already opens up the door for us to discuss a sugi which comes up in many places, and it's an important halakhic sugya, and even on a hashkafic level, it's an important sugya. We don't always focus on the hashkafic points that come out of the sugya, but it's an important one. And that is, what's the Ritva's assumption and the Ramban's assumption? There are dinim d'rabanan, there are dinim d'araisa, and never the twain shall meet. Right? This is a psul d'rabanan, it has nothing to do with malchus d'araisa. Or there's d'rabanan, there's d'araisa, and the Ritva does not accept that there can be any overlap between them. The question is that pashut? And what should we say that the rabanan have power to affect d'araisas, to influence d'araisas? Meaning, is there any other way to get out of this question that the Ritva asks? What's the source? Where did the Rabbanan get their power? The source for their creating dinim. So we're going to get to the sheet in a minute. But that source is first mission in Pirkei Avos, Asu Siag LaTorah. And after this, we're going to get to the sheet.
How do we know it's Malchus D'Oraisa?
So how do we know it's Malchus D'Oraisa? Well, usually Malchus, Stam Malchus,
in Mishnah. Maybe the finish of the mission is that the whole institution here is Hazama D'Rabbanan.
And well, Grusha's in there. Grusha's in there.
Okay, so that's the
and it's based on a pasuk.
To that is the... It's based on the Rabbanan.
So you're saying included in the Rabbanan, Chalusa would be Makas Rabbanan. It might be unusual also, because Mishael says Lokan Arbaim. And Malkus Durabana and Malkus Mardus is not Dafka 40, not Dafka 39. It could even be more. The Rashba writes in the Shuvah, it could even be more. So maybe that's what seems to be, that the Malkus is going on the Grusha, not on the Chalutza. But maybe you could have said that. So where does this power come from? So we know the Torah tells us, but it's quoted by the Rav Bar Tanura, the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. You say the three things that the Anshei Knesset Gadolah said. One of them was Asu Siyag LaTorah, make Siyagim. Says the Rav, this is talking to the Rabbanan. Vasu Siyag LaTorah Geder Shelo Yavo Liga BeIsur Torah Kigon Shnios LaRayos VeShvus LaShabbos Dichsiv Ushmartem Es Mishmarti Asu Mishmeres LaMishmarti. So the Torah itself gives license for the Rabbanan to make laws. That's where the source is. Right, we'll get back to that hopefully. That's right at the end. But let me ask, so the Torah gives license. So logically, should the Rabbanan have the power to then affect Dinim Daraisa? To change, to modify? These Dinim Daraisa, the Rabbanan can come along and make Dinim Darabanan. They can say, you're not allowed to write on Shabbos with your left hand. They can say, you're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do that. They're allowed to tell me that I'm not allowed to shake a lulav when Sukkot falls out on Shabbos. But could they affect the din? What do you think? Logically, what should be the case? Should they have the power? The Torah gives the license. If you think about it, mitzad echad, you might say, of course not. Hashem wrote the Torah. Everything in the Torah wrote is infinite and it's divine. And the Rabbanah don't have the power. The Rabbanah can make up their own laws, like the Ritva says, like the Ramban assumes.
They have power from
Shev al Tassa. They can govern a person's behavior. Again, this is a topic of a separate shiur, but the way many Achronim say it is that the Rabbanan can only create Isure Gavra. Midrabbanan. They could tell me what to do. You're allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do this. That's basically what their focus is. Could they change in inherent the definition of an item? So we'll get to it, you'll see what we're talking about. Could they change something on a Daraisa level?
And what would that mean in our case?
Meaning, we'll have to see if anybody says it. That would mean that maybe Malkus Daraisa could be created based on a Psul Darabanan.
Right, so because these Adam tried to bring a Psul Darabanan on this Kohen, so Minat Torah, had they not done anything, it would be like they were made that this Kohen's wore red shoes.
Minat Torah, right. Minat Torah, he didn't do anything wrong.
He didn't do anything wrong. They wouldn't have even heard the testimony of Minat Torah.
Right.
Now they're hearing the testimony because it affects the Din Darabanan. Would we apply the Din of Hazama
Daraisa? Kashra Zama Daraisa.
Right. Kashra Zama. Right.
So could we say that? The Ritva says no.
Right.
So let's see if there's anybody else who says it, but we'll see that in a few minutes. But logically, think the fact that the Torah gives the license, that itself, Gufa, might already open the door. The Torah itself tells you that they could do it. So if the Torah tells you that they could create Dinim, so maybe that itself also has built into it that the Torah, the Rabbanan, could affect Dinim da'araisa, as we will see. So let's take a couple of examples, because we find this concept in a number of areas, but each one is a little different. Each example, we're going to have, I think, three or four examples, each one is a little different, and we'll have to try to formulate exactly what makes each case unique. Number one. Number one is a shiloh that's discussed at length in the Achronim, and that is, in the 1800s, there was a controversy that's based on a sheet of the Rambam, which is not our topic now. There was a Rav that wanted to blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos. Certain Rav, so he was not the accepted opinion. There are some, a minority of opinion that do it. But let's say the minhag of Klal Yisrael in general is not to. That's not up for the next board meeting. even though it doesn't fall out on Shabbos this year. There's a big discussion in the Achronim. And that is, so let's say we don't agree with him. That rabbi, we don't agree that you should blow shofar on Shabbos. Is there any kiyum, though, for me to like go outside and stand outside the shul to hear it? What else am I doing? I know, I'll daven early. I'll daven vasikin. And then I'll go, look, can't hurt. So it can't hurt. Oh, maybe I'm showing that I believe in what he's doing is correct. Okay, forgetting that issue. Do I get schar for that? Is it Allah Khachila? Should we all daven early? So he's blowing it anyway. So he might as well, stand outside. That's the question of Rav Tzvi Pesach. Mikroi Kodesh is source number one. See, it says Mikroi Kodesh in the Yom Naram volume. So in Isara Hasheila, line two, Im Yesh Inyin Lalechas Sham Velishmoa Esatzkias. Kivan Shebein Kachu Tokeya. He's blown anyway. So if a Hashomim made a Mosim as a Shomisser, what are they doing? They're just listening. There's no Isser of hearing something. They say that he actually blew. This Rav Schlesinger. Right, they all argue you shouldn't do it. Maybe we should go and see. What's the nekuda? What's the root issue that is being discussed here? The issue is our issue. The Rabbanah came along and they said, we control your behavior. You're not allowed to blow shofar on Shabbos. But what if somebody does? What if somebody does blow shofar on Shabbos? That's the Shaila, and that's the Shaila that he quotes of Rabbi Akiva Eger. Do the Rabbanan have the power not just to tell you not to do a mitzvah, but even more than that, do they have the power to wipe out a mitzvah? Because according to Rabbi Akiva Eger, has that Shaila, and he says that the Rabbanan do not have that power. They could just tell us what to do, but inherently, let's say I blew shofar on Shabbos, it's a mitzvah and an aver. It's both. Double scorecard in Shemayim. L'chore yishmakom l'shmo asat tekiyas. He says in the next paragraph, mitam shekazer v'kive eger. Gam gadol shetokeya b'shabes kiyem mitzvah shofar. He's not talking about if there was a rav that was allowed. He's talking about a guy who blew shofar on Shabbos, b'mezid. I can't deal with not having shofar on Rosh Hashanah. I can't. The first day of Rosh Hashanah, the din d'araisa, I can't start off my year that way. The Gemara says if there's no shofar at the beginning, it's a bad year. I'm going to blow shofar. So what, I get the aveira. I'll take it for the team. Right, so this mano gam b'Shabbos el davrash was to Shabbos. Says Rav Akiva Eger, you get a mitzvah daraisa, you violate a mitzvah darabanan. Meaning, according to him, Rav Akiva Eger says the rabbanan can't affect the daraisa. They can just tell me what to do and what not to do, but they can't change the status of a mitzvah. So lachar, that would be the same thing by shofar, the same thing by lulav.
Or they didn't.
Or they didn't. Aha. Would there be a reason that they wouldn't if they could? If they could, meaning if they could, l'chora, you would think that if they're going to tell you not to do a mitzvah, they would want to give it the most teeth possible, the strongest. Right? I hear the chilek of they could, that Rav Shechter says that on the by the principle of milsa de lo shchicha lo gozer b'rabbanan. Not just, he says, is that a they wouldn't be gozer in an unusual situation, or they couldn't? The rabbanan only have the power to be gozer for the klal. The rabbanan don't have the power to tell one guy, you have this halacha. So that also comes up, couldn't or wouldn't. So here too, l'chora, there wouldn't be a reason to be mechalek, so if they could, they would. But that's Rabbi Kiveger's assumption, and that is the first example that we have of the Rabbanan not affecting. We'll have to see if anybody would argue on that Rabbi Kiveger. But where else does it come up? Let's look at the next case. And this already is one step further. Let's figure out exactly how this is one step further. There's a Mishnah in Maseches Sukkah. Daf Chaf Chesam Aleph. Mishnah talks about if somebody has a tiny sukkah. Tiny, small sukkah. Bishaya rosho verubo b'sukkah v'shulchanu b'toch habayis. Right, I'm sitting in the sukkah, but my table's outside the sukkah. And not just I'm doing that, but it's only a very small sukkah. The sukkah can only let's say, fits me, but not the table. So no problem. What am I going to do? I'm going to reach outside, pick up my food, and then sit back into the sukkah, and then eat. Wonderful. Says Beishamai, puzzle. Can't use that sukkah. Beishamai Poslin, or Beisila Machshirin, and Beisila's Machshir. Amr lehem Beisila Beishamai, Beisila says, 1 second, Lo kacha yamaisa, wasn't there a story? Shaholchu zikne Beishamai, zikne Beisila Lavakar, as Rabbi Yochanan ben Charanis, they went to visit this Rav, Matzushu, Yoshev, Roshev, Ruvah, Besukkah, Veshachana, Betach Abayis. He was sitting in this type of sukkah, and they didn't say anything. For lo amru lo davar, they didn't say anything. Right? So why? How can you say that it's kapasol? So Amr lehem Beishamai, Beishamai says, no. You missed the last line of the story. You didn't read the ending. Misham Raya. That's a Raya. It's a Raya to us. Avheim Amrulo. Im Kena Yita Noheg. If you sat in the sukkah, Lo Kiyamta Mitzvah Sukkah Miyamecha. You have never fulfilled the mitzvah of sukkah. So let's take a step back for a minute. Why is this sukkah puzzle? So the Gemara says, Shemi Yimashech Acha Shulchano. Let's say I'm eating soup. If I'm eating soup, it's very probable, it's not just possible, it's probable that I'm going to eat over, I don't want to spill on myself, so I'm going to end up eating outside the sukkah. So Beishamai says, you can't use that sukkah. Daraisa, it's perfect. It's a big enough shear. But I'm worried the food's outside. So Beishamai says, you can't use that. Beisila says, no, you're allowed to use it. So now let's ask the question. Look at the language of the Mishnah. Im kena yitanos. Let's say I use that sukkah. So again, one of two possibilities. Did I eat in the sukkah? And I ate in the sukkah. I wasn't nimshach. I ate the soup in the sukkah. Beis Shammai's lashon is to Beis Hillel. Im kena yitanoeg lo kiyanta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha. What does that sound like? What does that sound like? Lo kiyanta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha. Does it sound like, you know what? You fulfill the mitzvah d'araisa, but you got a isser d'rabanan for violating what the rabbanan told you not to do. Does not sound like that way. The Ran is so convinced that you cannot take this Mishnah literally that he says exactly what we just said. That has to be the pshat of the Mishnah. Skip Tosfos for a second. The Ran says in source number 4 on that Mishnah where it's underlined. Lav dafka. Tell me the rabbanan of the mitzvah. It's only us to mean the rabbanan. Don't take this lashon so literally. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi didn't mean it. So why do you write? But he didn't mean it. Maybe he just wants to show you the power of the rabbanan, but not so literal. Shema yimashach achar shochano. Elohachi kamar. You know what it means? Lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah karaui. Ukiritzon chachamim. You didn't do exactly what the rabbis wanted. But lav dafka that this is you didn't have a mitzvah. So what does the Ran say? Same thing Rabbi Kiva Eger said earlier in history. The Ran says that when they were apostle the sukkah, they said, no, you shouldn't do it. But if you sit in the sukkah, it's fine. Look at the example he quotes. This is not for us, but see what the Ran says? Just like the Mishnah in Arvei Pesachim, which we say in the Haggadah. Kol mi shelo amar shelo shadvar meilu bepesach, lo yotze yidei chavaso. You don't say Pesach matzah maror, I did not fulfill the mitzvah. Lo yotze yidei chavaso. Is that really true? Does it say in the Torah I have to mention Pesach matzah maror? The Amartim, what do I have to say? I can just tell the story. Do I have to say Pesach, Matzah, to say those exact things that Rabbi Gamliel says? It says, well, yes, they have also. Says the Ran, just like there is Lav Davka too. Shalokiyei mitzvasan karo'i. You didn't do it the best way. But you will yosei, says the Ran here too. But Tosfos here takes the Mishnah Kipshuto. Tosfos, where's the Tosfos? This Mishnah is quoted all the way at the beginning of Masechus Sukkah. Tosfos Dav Gimel. Tosfos says, see the last words underlined back in source 3. Lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha, dafilu mida oraisa lo kiyei. First time we have such a case. The Rabbanan came along and said you weren't even yotzi the mitzvah d'araisa. Meaning what? Let me formulate. What do you mean they weren't yotzi the mitzvah d'araisa? So what is this considered? So if I ate a kizayis on the first night of Pesach of Sukkot, in this type of sukkah. What? I did not fulfill my mitzvah. I didn't fulfill my mitzvah. We're not going as far as to say it's as if I ate outside of sukkah. We're not going that far right now. That's a topic of a different minchas chinuch about the mitzvah ba avera. But at least it's I ate in a sukkah. Look, it's a sukkah. The Torah says it's a sukkah. The Rabbanan came along and said you didn't see it in a sukkah. So if we think about it, this is one step further than even if we would have said that you're not yotzi your mitzvah of shofar. Let's say we would have argued in Rabbi Akiva Eger. You're not Yotzei. There they said, okay, the mitzvah is torpedoed. The mitzvah is no longer existent. Now we're going one step further according to Tosfos. What is Tosfos saying? Tosfos is doing what? Not just an avir. You're not doing a mitzvah, but what is Tosfos? What do the Rabbanan have the power to do according to Tosfos?
Pasul
to pasul v'chefza shal mitzvah. You have a chefza shal mitzvah. You have a sukkah d'araisa. The Rabbanan had the power to say, no, you think it looks like a sukkah d'araisa? It's not.
No,
it's not a sukkah.
You have a sukkah d'araisa, but maybe they're arguing on the actual halacha to Rabbanan. They're arguing on the
No, we know. The Beis Hillel, according to Beis Hillel, you're allowed to sit in the sukkah. But Beis Shammai who says that you cannot sit in this, if you sit in the sukkah, you would not yotzi your mitzvah of sukkah. What does that mean?
Because you're half and half
off. But no, but you ate inside the sukkah. The chashash is you might come to eat outside the sukkah. But even if you didn't violate that chash, you ate inside the sukkah, the Rabbanan, according to Tosfos, have the power to say, this is not a sukkah. This is not a sukkah regarding your mitzvah. It's not like eating outside the sukkah. I wouldn't go that far. But it's not the mitzvah of, it's not a sukkah.
Why is it any different than just defining what the minimum requirements are for a sukkah? In other words, the minimum requirements we say are 4 walls, 3 walls, schach, 2 and a half, and minimum amount of schach. Beis Shammai says their Kabbalah is that a minimum amount.
But they're not saying it's their Kabbalah. They're saying it's a gzera.
Because
they're Shammai Yimashah. Their Kabbalah would mean it's a daraisa. That wouldn't be a question. But the Gemara says it's mefurish. It's because of Shemi Yimashech. There's even another word in the Mishnah. You pick up on it? Another word in the Mishnah that might give away Tosas' pshat. It says, L'kiyam Poslin. Poslin. Beishamai Poslin. Beishilo Makshir. So Poslin is focusing on the Chefs of Shal Mitzvah. Right? They're not just saying you're not Yotzei. Poslin, the Lashon later on is L'kiyam Tosukim Yemecha. But Poslin already, they're targeting the Chefs. So that's another example. So we went from Shofar, and then we went to Sukkah, which is already targeting the Chefsa, and maybe now we have another example, again, of a major Chiddush possible if you take it one way. First mission in Shas. Makkos, we think, is a beginning. Brachos is a bigger beginning. In the beginning, Me'ema Saikar Nishma Barvin. Source number 5. So when do you see Kriya Shema nights? As we know, beginning time, the earliest time, Mishash HaKohanim Nechlasim Lechot Shumasan. Beginning when they go to eat their truma, whatever that means, as the Gemara discusses. What about the latest time to say Shema? 3 days. First opinion, Rabbi Eliezer, until the end of the first watch. At Sof HaShmur HaRishonim. Earliest time. V'chachamim Omrim, Ad Chatzos. Till Chatzos. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Ad Sheyala Amud HaShachar. Gamliel says all night. And we know the story. His children came from the Beis HaMishteh. We didn't say Shema. Don't worry about it. Chayav HaNatan Likros. You can still read. Good. Anytime it's a gzeira, says Rabbi Gamliel to his kids, that you could still say Kriya Shema, because even the Rabbanan said that it's only Mishum Gzeira. That is the Shita of Rabbi Gamliel, and therefore you can still say Kriya Shema. What about the Shita of the Chachamim in the Mishnah? First opinion, Blazer says you have to live till the first watch. The Chachamim say until Chatzos. Rabbi Gamliel comes along and says you have the whole night, and I think, in my opinion, even the Rabbanan only said until Chatzos, and they would allow you to read it the whole night. Are there only two opinions b'di'eved in the Mishnah? How many opinions b'di'eved are there in the Mishnah? Rabbi Blazer says, first Hashemura. Rabbi Gamliel says, all night. L'chachil even, sure, b'di'eved. What about the Chachamim? The Chachamim say until Chatzos. Is that for sure how Rabbi Gamliel interpreted it? Is there any other way to understand the Mishnah? Let's read Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah in source number 6. V'yesh l'hakshos l'rabbanan da'amri da'afilu di'eved eno yotze ela ad chatzos im avar chatzos ma yehei dino. What if it's 1 a.m.? Assuming that's after chatzos. What if it's 3 a.m.? Right, according to Rav Moshe, 1 a.m. is always at the Chatzos. Unless you change the... Rav Moshe says the Shita of Chatzos is 12 o'clock. But let's say the at the Chatzos is 4 o'clock in the morning. According to the Rabbanan, should I say Kriya Shema? Am I allowed to say Kriya Shema? Pashtus, what would you say? Would you say you want to say Kriya Shema? Should you say Kriya Shema? 4 o'clock in the morning? The simplest interpretation of the Mishnah. Yeah, what do you say?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's
the story. Yeah. I do it until Chatzos because you might fall asleep. You might fall asleep. You might say, okay, I have time to do it. I mean, how many times did we say that by mincha, for sure? I'll daven, boom. We get caught up in something and we blew it. Right? So that's says. So Pashto says, Ma yedino, shim no mashalikra klal, if you say you shouldn't, say, read it, kasha, give it to Kriya Shema, chigiv ben HaTorah, heich yecholin chachabim lepatro mimena. According me to Oraisa, you have the whole night. Do the Rabbanan have the power to say that it's 4 a.m. Don't even think of saying Kriya Shema. It's not worth it to you. Do they have that power to say that? Says Rabbeinu Yonah Pashtus, no. They don't have that power. The Istamri, some say this for Yolahu, the Achar Chatzos, Koryosa, below Brachas. Maybe you're right, you have to say Kriya Shema, but not the Brachas. The Brachas, the Rabbanan have the power to say Heim Amru, Beheim Amru. Don't say the Brachas. That's one opinion. And then he quotes, though, at the end, look at this opinion. Where it's underlined. V'nira l'mori harav. It appears to Mori. D'svira le l'rabbanan. Sha'afilu kriya shma atzma shehu min ha-Torah kol ha-layla. Even kriya shma, which daraisa, you could say the whole night. Eino kore osa achar chatzos. You don't say it after chatzos. She'yecholin chachamim l'potro mi mitzvah sasei kol zman she'osin ke mishum siyag o mishum kiyam mitzvah atzma. Wow. The Chachamim say, according to this opinion of Rabbeinu Yonah, at 3 in the morning you come home and you say, oh, I didn't tell you Kriya Shema. You know what they tell you? Don't say it. It's not worth it. You're not going to get the mitzvah anyway. You're not going to get the mitzvah. There's no reason to say it. Tehachi chazina belulav. Same thing with lulav. She mitzvah so minat Torah yom rishon. V'yafilo hachi kishachal yom rishon b'shabes patru chachamim. What's the difference between kriyashma and lulav? Lulav, they knocked it out the first day. So kriyashma, they knock it out.
How do we know that the time extends to be doraisa after chazos?
Because the Gemara says. The Gemara says that it's... I mean, the Mishnah says.
The Mishnah says, but that, I thought we said that could be generally Svaras.
Yeah, it's not based on a Pasuk. It's not based on a Pasuk.
So maybe that's just Svaras for Rav Gamliel. Maybe Chacham would say the hard test.
No, but there's no source in the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't have a specific source that you can only say until Chatzos. The Gemara's formulation of the I think it's on the Abdallah or so in Brachas, a person might say, Eshta Kima, V'ishan Kima, and then I'll say it. That's the Chacham Imshita. So it's clearly a Gzera. It's clearly a Gzera. It's not a Din Daraisa. But what do we see from Rabbeinu Yonah, at least according to this opinion? This is a new application. Not only could they say a mitzvah doesn't exist, not only could they say that a chefza doesn't exist, but or you don't get the mitzvah lagavi the chefza, but they could take a time period for a mitzvah and say it's no longer that time period.
Why is this different than lulav?
Oh, so he would say, he says it's not no different than lulav.
Right. So what
would so what would you think? Well, according to the first opinion, which is the sheet that most reshown him.
Right.
So they would say that you do say Kriya Shema. They can't uproot a time period to say it's not... Here, it's already past the time. You blew it. But now you're remembering. They wanted you to say it before Chatzos because you might forget the whole night. Now it's after Chatzos, but you remembered. You remembered to do it. What's the downside? By Lulav, you don't want to shake it because, you know, Gzera Shema, Shema Yavo. There's always that chashash.
But here it's the again we could say they didn't couldn't they decided that you know, we want you to say it earlier but if you didn't it's better to say it late than not to
correct.
Say it at all but by lulav it's you know that they don't want you because any time you do it you may come to
exactly I think that's what Rov Rishonim say
outside could be the next night you may
if you always know you have that out bidi eved you might come right so then that wouldn't be a fundamental approach that would just mean technically you know there's always the chashash. But I think Rov Rishonim said what you just said, and that is that by lulav is always achshash. Here, you already, you know, you didn't violate. We might as well. But the fact that Rabbeinu Yonah could say, don't say it, there's no reason to, they're affecting the time period, Daraisa. This is no longer the Zman of Kriyashma. If you, at least the one understanding of that Rabbeinu Yonah could be that. So they could affect a Chetzah Shal Mitzvah. They could affect a Kiyama Mitzvah. They could affect a Chetzah Shal Mitzvah. They could affect a Zman HaMitzvah itself. And finally, the last example. With one more, and then we'll wrap it up. And that is, the last example, maybe this whole issue... Remember, Rabbi Kiva Eger might argue, might always, if you want to say, like, he always goes L'shita, so he holds, like, all the opinions that say, he holds, like, the Ran, and he holds, like, the first day of Rabbeinu Yonah. Again, you might be machalic between each of these because they're all a little different, as we're describing. You might say they have the power to affect the chefza, but not the zman. There might be different elements. But maybe this is all a machlokas tanaim. Maybe this whole issue is really based on machlokas tanaim. The Mishnah, the Gemara says in Maseches Sukkah, source number 7. Source number 7, the Gemara talks about, am I allowed to build a sukkah on top of an animal? Sukkah gabi gamal. If you go to Nok Dumim on Sukkahs, they have all the sukkahs. They have sukkah gabi gamal, sukkah gabi. So you see it there. You have the sukkah on top of a camel. So you let have a sukkah gabi gamal. So the Mishnah says yes. What would be the problem? Let's see the Gemara. Sukkah chaf gimel, source 7. Masnisan mani Rabbi Meir he detanya ha'osa sukkah so gabi behema. Rabbi Meir machshir. Meir says kosher. Rabbi Yehuda posel. Rabbi Yehuda pasels. Why does he pasul? My time with Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Kra, Chag Asukos Ta'ase Lecha Shivas Yamim. Make for yourself a Chag Asukis, but we darshan the Sukkah itself for 7 days. Sukkah Haru'uya L'Shiva Shma Sukkah. Sukkah She'ina Ru'uya L'Shiva Lo Shma Sukkah. Only a Sukkah that could stand for 7 days. Is your animal going to be standing for 7 days? Is he going to be move? Is he going to lie down to go to sleep? So I didn't give you the continuation of the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Look, Rameir Hanami Midaraisa." Let's read the next line. Rabbi Meir, doesn't he have this drasha also? Sukkah has to be right for 7 days. Hanami Midaraisa Mechzachazi. It is right for 7 days. For Rabbanu the Gazer, Rabbanu are worried he's going to lie down. Maybe he'll have an animal that'll be able to sleep on his feet. So Rav Meir says it's kosher because you don't have to be worried. Rabbi Yehuda says you're worried.
Oh, it's the Isser Hishtamshus for the Hema on Yom.
What about Chol HaMoed?
So that's, it's not really Shiva.
Right.
Okay, so either that way, but the whole thing is an issue of Gzeir. But this isn't the general, I don't think this is the regular Isser Hishtamshus. Rabbanu de Gazrube, even if you don't touch the Sukkah, you don't, or you don't touch the animal, so you have a ladder or something. But the Gemara does not link it to the general Isser Hishtamshus on Shabbos and Yantif of a Behema. The issue is that are you Gozer, the fact that the animal might lie down, is that enough to ruin the definition of Ru'uya L'Shiva or not? Rabbi Meir says, oh, maybe I'll fall down, but it's still Ru'uya L'Shiva. Rabbanan weren't Gozer. Masha'in Keinat. This Machlokas Tanoim suggests a number of Achronim is Gufa our issue. According to Rabbi Meir, the Darais is the Darais, the Rabbanan is the Rabbanan. Rabbanan who the Gazer are red, Rabbanan were Gozer. That doesn't affect the definition of Ru'uya L'Shiva. Masha'in Kein, according to Rabbi Yehuda, maybe our chidushim in all of our context are like Rabbi Yehuda, that the Isser Drabanan could affect the issue d'oraisa, could affect the issue d'oraisa. Why is this important? This is important because this example of Rabbi Yehuda Ruhi L'Shiva is quoted by the Aruch Laner on Makas Daf Beis. Getting back to our original case, the Ritva said we started off the shir. Chalutza, you testify he's a ben chalutza is Drabanan. Is Lav Dafka, says the Aruch Laner, source number 8, no. Even if Adam testified that a Ben Chalutza is only possible to Rabbanan, it could lead to Malkus Daraisa. Says the Aruch Laner, let has died to Yish Lomar. Fourth line, Kivan da'al kopanem ata, lefi masha paslu Rabbanan, Chalutza lekoen, ratzu lepostlo ulahaziko, shaper loki minatori, do get Malkus. Tachlis, so what is it to Rabbanan? Tachlis, to Mali and Ratzel Lafsi the Mamon Shiishlo Din Azamim in Atorah, or Ratzel Lafsi the Yichuso. You're causing him a loss of Yichus, or causing him a loss of Yichus. Nobody's going to want to marry him. He's going to be a Chalal. But Lamaisa says the Aruch Laner, the Rabbanan's going to affect our Isis. Va'ayin, Sukkah Dav Gimel. Shinir Gamke, Bekagav, the Sukkah, to Asr Lalos, be the Rabbanan in Atorah, is connected to the Isra of using it. Minatorah, the Isser of Ishtamshus, but it's the Gzeira, that Isser, that affects the definition of Ru'uya L'Shiva. Lo nicknames Ru'uya L'Shiva. So there's the Aruch Laner quotes that Rabbi Yehuda as an example of how it could work out here. And then he even continues and says, Tosfos asks a question, why doesn't it say Mamzer in Makas Daf Beis? Mizan Abish Ploni Shuhu Mamzer. Why does it say Ben Gerusha Mechalusa? Say Mamzer! That applies to Yisrael. So Tosfos discuss it. You know what the Aruch Laner says? No, because you know what the main chiddush of the Mishnah is? Chalutz is the main chiddush. It says Grusha because it says Chalutz, so it also says Grusha. The exact opposite of what the Ritva says. The Ritva says it says Grusha and it throws in Chalutz. The Aruch Laner says it says Chalutz and it just throws in Grusha. Because Daraisa is, of course, Daraisa. It's Kasher Zomam. Of course that. The chiddush is that even if it's drabanan, that's what he says. Lefi zeh shapir. The yishlomer at the end. The mamzer ein rabusa kol kach. Kivan shepsula min haTorah vaday laki. Aval chalutza. Havamina, the Ritva's right. Havamina. Kivan deim psula rak mi drabanan. Lo laki kishitas haRitva. That's the chiddush. It's unbelievable. The Ritva and the Aruch Laner, the exact opposite pshatim of the Mishnah. Does it say chalutza because of grusha? Does it say grusha because of chalutza?
Isn't this even a bigger chiddush by the Aruch Laner? I mean, couldn't we have learned the more extreme in all of those cases, but not come to the Aruch Laner's conclusion?
So could we have learned all of those and not the Aruch Laner? Why?
Because
this is even farther, you're saying.
Yeah, isn't it? Then the only other cases were limiting. We're limiting the definition of something in the Torah. Here he's extending it.
So you're saying all of the other ones were saying don't do something, don't do something. Here
don't
it's saying
it,
this is fulfilling Kasher Zaman.
Yeah.
So this is even further in a sense. So I think that could be true. Maybe the Aruch Laner is going further. On the other hand, I think maybe you could just say maybe it's a chiddush in Kasher Zamam. Kasher Zamam just means lamaisa, you're hurting the guy.
Right, that's what he says. La'afsido mamam.
Right. Right. So lamaisa, you're hurting the guy. So it might just be a very low standard of Kasher Zamam.
Here, the Rabbanan just making this into something that's worthwhile.
Right.
Something that's important.
Right. And
anything that's important.
Anything that's important to you, even on a Drabbanan level. Is going to be considered kasher zamam, right? So I think you can say either way, either this is the most the biggest chiddush, or the smallest chiddush. But either way, it's a unique application of all of these topics. Just one other.
Actually, yeah. Mamzer, nobody would have a doubt that if you were made on somebody that mamzer daraisa,
right.
that you would be lokas arpai, right?
And no, you have a mina not.
That you would have it.
You would get malchus.
So yichus, we've already established, therefore, that yichus is something of importance.
Right.
The only question now is ben grusha, is
how
ben
far?
What if you're made
that he's a pogum? Pogum, right. A ben nida. And how you would know that? I know a somehow, right? I'm saying so. Pogum. So the question is, how low do you go? Right. So that's the. But you're right. But ben, at least ben chalus is at least a psul to rabban. Just one other related source to this section, and then we'll get to the final section, and that is an interesting ha'ar of the Har Tzvi in source number 10. So we imagine again Rabbi Kiva Eger that people shofar on Shabbos, you get the mitzvah, but you also get an issa d'rabbanan. The Cheshek Shlomo, Rav Shlomo Mivilna in source 9, the beginning of Maseches Megillah, says, on the top line, I'll just read the one line, if that's important. It's even smaller in the back of the Gemaris. And late at night, it's even smaller. Says the Cheshek Shlomo, if you lean Megillah on Shabbos, Purim Shachal B'Shabbos, you don't get any mitzvah. That's the Cheshek Shlomo. Cheshek Shlomo talks about what happens if you live in Yerushalayim, where Tesvav could fall out on Shabbos, and therefore you land on Friday. Let's say you missed it. Is there any kiyum to land on Shabbos? His chakira in this piece is that when they were Rabbanan switch it to the day early, did they switch the Iker day? Or is it just an early tashlumen, right, which you're not going to be able to make? That's in his nafkaminas, if a cotton chin is gadol on Shabbos, and all the other nafkaminas that might come up. So he says, if somebody was an ones, should they lean it on Shabbos? He says, no. Because once the Rabbanan uprooted it, then there's no reason for you to lean on, if you lean Megillah on Shabbos, you get no kiyum of that. That's what Chayshik Shlomo says. So ask the Har Tzvi, are we to understand that there is a major machlokas achronim here? Between mitzvahs that are knocked down on Shabbos, between the Cheshek Shlomo and Rebbe Kiva Eger. Rebbe Kiva Eger says it by shofar, that you do get the mitzvah, but you got another year with it. The Cheshek Shlomo says, you don't get any mitzvah. Are we forced into saying that is a machloka zachronim?
But on Purim, I'd say, it's the mitzvah.
So that's what the Har Tzvi says. You don't have to say that it's a machlokas. As you just said, Kana'ayeh in line 12, when you think about it, ain't stira midiv Rebbe Kiva Eger. And you don't have to say it's a stira, because you could say both of them hold a drabanan cannot affect our ISIS. But a Megillah is all drabanan. If the drabanan created the mitzvah, they could say, we created, but if it's on Shabbos, there is no mitzvah. They created the whole thing. If they created the whole thing, they could say, hey, mamre, hey, mamre. But it could be that Chayyash Shlomo would admit that in Rabbi Kiva Eger's case, we would say that you do get a mitzvah, but you also get an ave.
There's only one qualification. Doesn't the Gemara Megillah talk about that the reason that we don't land on Shabbos is Kseret D'Rabba?
They're all right.
Right? But that means that
they're all the same.
Right, but behind the time, right? But that means that the point of establishment be made more time.
So now you're asking about historically. Right? Ashkenaz and Gedola were the ones that established the latest, let's say, the leaning of the Megillah. Rabba, Lechora, assuming that Rabba was the one that created this, he didn't just say the reason. But Rabba, if they're all from the time of Rabba, right, but the question is before the time of Rabba. Right. So he's the one that made it famous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Pashas is that's what he Cheshek Shlomo suggests, or Rath
Har Tzvi. Miguel that page says Kulu Anshei Knesset Hagdola Tikkun, and that refers to the whole Mishnah, which includes.
He doesn't fall out on Shabbos. He's not talking about Shabbos. The issue is not Shabbos. There in the first Mishnah. The Mishnah is the Kfarim.
Right, but the first Mishnah lists all the Shabbos cases too.
Right, the Gemara is trying to figure out they were misakin it. They have to look at that Shach Levataria. Yeah. But you're right. But if you got to work out the historical years in terms of that the assumption of the Har Tzvi is that the Asher
Hey Mamru Hey Mamru
Hey Mamru
Hey Mamru.
Hey
Mamru Hey Mamru.
Right. The only Shaila was we discussed this before Purim. Discussed before Purim. If you remember, the only Shaila was the laning at night of the Megillah.
Right.
That's a shot. That's not a Mishnayos. So that's the question: was it? Or did Rabbi Shua ben Levi come up with it, or that was the Binyan Shlomo?
Binyan
Shlomo. Yes, I can thank you for it now. Okay. Two more points, and then we're done. Number one is that there's a nut. So far, we've been talking all about gzeiros of the Rabbanan. Gzeiro about sitting in a sukkah, a small sukkah. Gzeiro about Shema. Gzeiro about a sukkah al gabi behema. What about, and this is the Minchas Chinuch's issue, in Mitzvah Lamed Aleph, source number 11, What about if the Rabbanan told you how to fulfill a mitzvah d'araisa? Not gzeres. How about they told me benching? And now we know there's a nusach of benching. What if I sit down? And what if I mention all the things that the Gemara says I have to mention d'araisa? I mention Malchus Beis David and Bris Mila and Eretz Yisrael. I mention all those, but I make up my own nusach. So what is the din? Do I say I'm d'araisa? I fulfilled all my obligations. You didn't do what the Rabbanan told you to do. Or do I say no? As the Minchas Chinuch likes to say, quoting the Prima Gadim, line 15. Pick it up at the end. Ach ata shetiknu chazal hanusuch, dahainu lahaskel b'shemu malchus ulasayim. Once they were said this, v'hu lo asakein. Rak omer dvarim me'atzmo l'maylas hayom. He's talking about Kiddush here, right? You could talk about Birchas Hamazon is an example. Kiddush is an example. What's another example? No. Sorry? Havdalah. Davening. No. Tefillah. Tefillah. All of these. The Rabbanan doesn't say anywhere in the Torah these words. There's only one tefillah in the Torah. Right? One of the most famous tefillahs, 2 weeks ago, Parshas, the Befeirish, Kal Na Rafan Allah, right? But there are other tefillahs, right, for forgiveness. But it doesn't say what we're supposed to daven. So, Efshar Af Min HaTorah Lo Yatza. And what does he quote? Kemo Shekasu HaTos V'Sukah Daf Gimel Lo Kiyamta Sukah Miyamecha. I'm in Source 11, line 20, 19 and 20. What does he quote? He quotes our Gemara Tosfos in Sukkah that takes the literal understanding of the Mishnah in Sukkah of Lukiyamta Sukkah Miyamecha to call Makom Shetiknu Chazal B'Mitzvah D'Araisa V'Hu Lo Asakein Lo Yatza Klal. But if you think about it, the Menachem Chatz Chinuch is blurring the lines a little bit, right? He's taking a gzeira and he's putting it into a takana, but he has a seamless transition between the two. He doesn't think it's a transition, right? But he just takes one to the other. But one could have been Mechalik. And I would say in either direction. Right? You might say that here the Rabbanan are defining what the mitzvah is. So of course if you don't do it like that, you're not going to be Yotzei. Mashiach and Gzeira, they can't affect the mitzvah. Or you can maybe say the opposite. That one I think is more probable. Or you can say the opposite. By Gzeira, they have the power to knock out. The Rabbanan, they can make a siyag, they knock out mitzvahs. Mashiach and here, the Torah tells you, Veirachta, so please say whatever you want. Again, that is another example of...
There's a text that is a suggestion.
Right. This is suggested. It's also suggested in Shulchan Aruch, right. But it's suggested. But on a D'Oraisa level... So that's brachas. Right. That's brachas. Brachas, the Mishana is... right, it won't work.
The Rabbanans are saying, you're
right. Okay, we're going to talk, I hope, a little this Shabbos. We're going to be having a shiur on Berachas HaGomel, I think, related topics. So talk about the nusach of that bracha is itself up to... unclear. Okay, one final point, and that is a question that I think should be more famous, because there is a famous, well-known machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban, and everybody jumps on the Rambam with a major kasha, but nobody jumps on the Ramban, and Rabbi Chanan jumps on the Ramban. What's the machlokas? The machlokas is the Rambam has a shita in Hilchas Mamrim and elsewhere that every time a person violates an Issa D'Rabbanan, they also violate the Issa D'Araisa of Lo Sasur. Don't turn away from what the Rabbanan tell you to do, right or left. Pasuk and Parsha Shoftim, Lo Tasur. So that's the Rambam Shita, he says it in more than one place. Whenever you violate a D'Rabbanan, you're also violating a D'Araisa. Ask the Ramban on the Rambam, a Bam Kasha, what about the principle then of Safek D'Rabbanan Lakula? If every D'Rabbanan is a D'Araisa, so how do you ever have a Safek D'Rabbanan Lakula? Right, every Darabanan is Daraisa, so you never have a Darabanan. Okay, so that's a question that hopefully we'll deal with at one point. There are answers to that. The Ramban himself suggests an answer to that in Mashiach Chachma. But that's one. So everybody deals with the Rambam. The Rambam is so problematic. Can we go to the Ramban for a minute? Says Rabbi Chanan, the Ramban, we think the Ramban is perfect. What does the Ramban say? The Ramban says that no, Lo Sasser is only don't turn away from the Rabbanan. But it doesn't mean if you violate an Issa D'Rabbanan, you violate an Issa. If they're a Rabbanan, you know, that's maybe Zakein Mamre. If they tell you about a D'Araisa, but you don't violate a D'Araisa every time you do a D'Rabbanan. Asks Rabbi Chanan in Kuntros Divrei Sofrim, this is in the second volume of Kovet Shiurim. Asks Rabbi Chanan, according to the Ramban, what's the source that we have to listen to the Rabbanan? Right? Ushmartim is Mishmarti, that's telling the Rabbanan to make laws. Tell the Rabbanan to make laws. According to the Rambam, what's the source for listening to the Rabbanan? Lo Sasur. Lo Sasur, don't turn, because every time you violate a Rabbanan, you violate a D'Araisa. But according to the Ramban, So what's the source in the Torah that we have to listen to the rabbis? Okay, Asakin Mamre is one of the great Sanhedrin, can't argue. But nobody deals with that question. That's what Rabbi Chanan asks. What's the source for listening to the Rabbanan according to the Ramban? So says Rabbi Chanan, it's not Mefurish. It's a big Kiddush. We're not going to read the whole thing. But Rabbi Chanan says, it's not Mefurish. It's a given. It's a given. The fact that, let's read it. He says that the fact that he gives an example. First, what's the earliest example of a din d'rabbanan? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu. See, Os Tes Zayin on the right side. Yivamis Daf Samach Beis Tanya. Gimel Devarim Asa Moshe Rabbeinu Midaito. Viskima Daito L'das Hamakom. Three things Moshe did, and Hashem agreed with him. He separated from his wife. He broke the luchos, and he added on one extra day right before Matan Torah. How did Moshe know he was allowed to do this? Says Rabbi Chanan, once we know, and this we know, that the Rabbanan have the power to interpret the Torah, so it must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to listen to them. It's a given. It's what we mentioned in other contexts, Rav Asher Weiss calls Ratzon Hashem. It's like the fifth Shulchan Aruch. It's a given. There are some things besides the out of the category of mitzvos per se. It's a given because it's so obvious that that's what he would want. How did Moshe Rabbeinu understand that he was supposed to do it? Because it's a given that he is the Rabbanan. And that's what it says in the tab of next column, whatever it says, Asmachta bi'alma. It's an Asmachta. What does an Asmachta mean? There's a hint for it in the Torah. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu left open creative powers for the Rabbanan to interpret laws and to create laws. That's the koach of the Rabbanan, and that's what he says in Osu Yuches. Mehai Taima, Anu Chayavim Asus Kedivrehan, why? Shari Anu Makaimim Azer, Ratzon Hashem Yisparach. Sheskima Daito Madaito. Their das was maskim to his. We call Makom, because it wasn't Mufurish, so then it doesn't have the power of a Daraisa. But there's another category besides the mitzvos, and that is listening. Ratzon Hashem, which again, hopefully we'll have a separate shiur on at one point, but at least Ratzon Hashem in terms of the power of the Rabbanan. And then he even adds, again, there's a lot more he adds, but at the end he says, maybe this was the chait, next week's parsha, of Bilam HaRasha. It always bothered me that if you look in the Torah, if you just read the Torah Shebichsav, forget Midrashim and Rashi, if you just read Torah Shebichsav, was Bilam such a bad guy? If you read the Torah Shebichsav. They come to Bilam, and Bilam says, I can't do anything that Hashem doesn't want me to do. And then the next time he goes and says, Hashem, can I go? Okay, go, but you're going to say what I want you to say. If you read the Torah Shebichsav, it doesn't sound like Bilam's such a bad guy. He was like the Midrashim. And obviously we read the Torah through the eyes of the Midrashim. But what did Bilam do wrong? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't go. So he didn't go the first time. And then Hashem says, okay, go, but you're going to have to say what I want you to say. So he went. What did he do wrong? Says Rav Elchanan, because, forget a mefurish sivui, but it was obvious that Hashem didn't want him to go. And sometimes you got to think outside of a specific mefurish command that you have. That's what Rav Elchanan says, and that's where the koach of the Rabbanan come from. It's a given. I was thinking, I was doing this sugya yesterday, the day before, and maybe I shouldn't have been thinking about it during davening. But anyway, so we say in Modim D'Rabbanan, we want Hashem to gather us into your chatzros, lishmar chukecha, v'lasos ritzonecha. What's the double lashon? Lishmar chukecha, to do all your chukim, to do all your laws. But then we add, v'lasos ritzonecha. So maybe that's the added din of Rabbi Chanan. It's beyond the chukim. There are certain things that are obvious. You read the Torah, it's obvious. So according to the Ramban, it's obvious that we have to listen to the Rabbanan. So at the end of the day, when we talk about the koach of the Rabbanan, we have two sources in the Torah. Why do we have to listen to the Rabbanan? The Rambam says lo sasur, and the Ramban would say, it's Ratzon Hashem is a given. I don't know. I'm trying to think. I'll leave it food for thought. Did these two sources, would they have an effect on, would the Rabbanan have the power to affect our ISIS? So I'll just leave that open for now, if that is connected at all. But that is these are just some of the ideas related to Rabbanan Daraisas, related to Makos on Daf Bey. So Hashem, we'll stop. We'll try. The plan is next Tuesday. We'll try to Hashem have a meet again, and we'll post the topic. What?
Same time.
After Ma'ariv, but next Tuesday. Then we'll try to do it Tuesday, and then after that, I'll be going away for the summer. But we'll try for that. Okay.